The views expressed in this interview are those of the individuals and do not reflect the official policy or position of the U.S. government, the Department of Defense, the U.S. Navy, or the Naval Postgraduate School. Welcome to the Trident Room, brewer of stout conversation, unfiltered and on tap.
Part two of the two-part episode.
Welcome to the Trident Room podcast at the Naval Postgraduate School. We're especially honored to have our guest with us today, as he recently served as the guest speaker for our June commencement ceremony here at NPS. We are grateful for his time with our graduating students and his support of our mission here at the Naval Postgraduate School. If you haven't had a chance to watch that ceremony, you can find his remarks on the Naval Postgraduate School YouTube channel. Today, we're pleased to continue the conversation in a more personal setting and explore his perspectives on leadership, talent development, and the future of the Marine Corps. Our guest today is Lieutenant General Bowers, the Deputy Commandant for Manpower and Reserve Affairs. He is a 1990 graduate of Virginia Military Institute, where he earned a degree in history and was commissioned into the United States Marine Corps. Throughout his career, he has served across nearly every Marine Expeditionary Force in every element of the Marine Air Ground Task Force and in much of the supporting establishment. His assignments have included operational and command roles across the fleet, including service with the 1st Marine Expeditionary Brigade, Marine Corps Recruitment Depot San Diego, 7th Engineer Support Battalion, and Recruiting Station Lansing. He has commanded at multiple levels, including Marine Wing Support Squadron 273, the 6th Marine Corps District, Marine Corps Recruiting Command, and Marine Corps Installations Pacific. He has also held senior institutional and joint assignments, including service on the Joint Staff at the National War College and as president of Marine Corps University and commanding general of Education Command. In his current role, he oversees manpower, personnel, and reserve affairs for the Marine Corps, helping shape how the service recruits, develops, and sustains its force. Sir, thank you for being here.
It's great to be here.
You mentioned reading is one of your top points. Yeah. I take it you're a reader. Do you have any book recommendations for any NPS students or anybody from the broader community?
I'm always reading something. I got kind of eclectic reading tastes. I am finishing up Freedom from Fear right now. It's about how the American people came through the Great Depression and World War II. It's written by Stanford professor David Kennedy right up the road. Before that, I read Influence by Robert Cialdini, which is kind of like a psychology book. I just got Peak, which is how the new science is transforming athletic performance. I think I got the subtitle right. Because, you know, I want to get smart on improving human performance because the assistant commandant just tasked us to take the lead in this Project Warrior, which is really going to get after every aspect of improving Marines' performance, which is brilliant because we're getting such great people into the Marine Corps, right? With these high enlistment standards we have and these high officer standards we have and just the elite nature of being a Marine, we're working with warrior athletes here. So how do we get them to be even better? How do we sustain? You know, what do pro sports teams do? How do we think about sleep, nutrition, injury prevention? I want to learn more about that so we can really help the Marine Corps maximize the talent and the performance of these great people we're bringing in.
I'm a big reader too. I really like reading. Circling back around to the learning from other students, why not? If somebody has put so much research into a book, you don't have to do it. Just read the book.
Just last night, we were at the dinner with Captain Glover, and the couple I was sitting next to had some really good book recommendations. And I said, all right, well, can you text those to me? So this morning, text
the Hargroves.
The Hargroves.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
Yeah, great book recommendations. Commanding Heights and Co-Intelligence are what she texted. So, you know, that's what Karen Hargrove texted me. So, all right, then. This is what I'm going to...
We'll put those in the show notes for anyone interested. All of these book recommendations, we can go check out the show notes. Where do you see the biggest gap between technical solutions and how they are actually used by operational leaders?
Yeah, between technical solutions and how they're used by operational leaders. I think it's been identified by leadership in the Department of War and the Department of Navy that our acquisition system does not move fast enough to get the best systems, the best that the warfighter at the tip of the spear needs, that we're not able to get to that fast enough. So they are calling for acquisition reform. We have the Defense Innovation Unit. Mr. Owen West, a friend of mine, is leading. We went up there. We got a tour of that yesterday. They're doing some amazing work right there. We have the Marine Innovation Unit up in New York. We actually got one of our MPS. You know, our deputy is going out there to lead the Marine Innovation Unit. Think about that. They're going to bring everything they learned here at MPS and this ecosystem out there to the Marine Innovation Unit, where they got some connective files back here. So I think some goodness is going to come from that. I think we've just got to get faster, right? I think that's where the gap is. Our commandant has identified it. The Deputy Commandant for Combat Development and Integration, my good friend, Lieutenant General Smash Austin, has identified that. He's just been given the additional responsibility as the Principal Acquisition Executive for the Marine Corps. So now the officer in charge of determining the requirements and what the Marine Corps needs is also the officer determining what we acquire and how fast we acquire it. I think that's certainly a step in the right direction, and we're excited about it. I think we're closing those gaps rapidly, but I think that's where the gap is. The acquisition process just moves too slow.
Yeah, I agree.
Hope that answers.
It does, yeah. So after more than 3 decades of service, what are you most proud of? And it doesn't have to be military. It can be personal. It can be family. Just as a Lieutenant General Bowers, what are you most proud of?
I'm really proud of my wife and daughters, right? I have 3 daughters. I have beautiful wife, Heather. And
hi, Heather.
Yeah, I have 3 daughters, Ashley, Emily, and Caroline. They're each very unique. They are very spirited. They're amazing young women. I'm just really proud of all of them and how well they're doing. I want to say I'm proud of my dog. I heard my dog's been misbehaving. I got a dog. I got a golden retriever, Tayo. That means son in Japanese. We got him when we were over in Okinawa. He's been misbehaving while I've been gone this week. So I can't really say I'm proud of him, but I love him, right? So I'm really proud that some of the people who I have seen as civilians, or I saw them before they were Marines, you know, my 9+ years on recruiting duty, I've been able to see them come into the Marine Corps and then excel as Marines. And a lot of them still kind of stay in touch with me, or they still let me know, hey, sir, you know, remember you were CO of 6th District here when I joined, or Marines who I've served with have gone on to do great things. That's just really cool to be able to see potential in a young man or woman and then go to see them actually realize it. In some cases, exceed it, right? And they just go on. That's just like, wow. Not that, you know, you congratulate yourself for having had a hand in it. I mean, they were on the path to success, whichever road they were on.
With or without you.
Yeah. Yeah. They were going to succeed because they have determined, and they were like, all right, yeah, you know. But to actually see it come to fruition, that's really cool. Right. That's really cool to see young Marines grow up and then go out there and just have a huge impact on the world. Right. To live a life of significance when, yeah, you know, I saw this back in 2012, or I saw this back in 2002 when I was a major in Lansing, Michigan. That's really rewarding.
It is. And it's cool to think about how their journey, every path they took led them to that experience, yeah, with you and joining the team
and then excelling on the team and then going off to, you know, the frontiers of history, right? Because the next chapters of history are being written now by the deeds of Marines. And we put them out. They knew they were going to live a life of significance. They were coming in, but we kind of helped the path. All right, here's where you want to go. Here's the path. Is this what you want? Yes, that's exactly what I want. And then they go, and then they do it, and then they excel at it. It's just, I'm just proud of that. I'm proud of them.
I can see why you would be. You said you watched them grow up as Marines, and I just think that speaks truly to the experience in your position.
Yeah, you get to see him grow. There was just a lieutenant I saw upstairs. He's just checking in from Virginia Military Institute. Probably talked to him when I was the commanding general in Marine Corps Recruiting Command. I was either his commissioning officer back in 2022 or 23 or whenever. And now here he is reporting as an infantry officer from 2nd Battalion, 1st Marines. And here he is showing up ready to undertake graduate studies.
And he's ready.
And he's ready to go, right? And he's like ready to attack it. And he's like excited to be here. And so That is gratifying. It is gratifying to see young men and women of character come, earn the title Marine, and then excel.
So if you could go back to the beginning of your career, what advice would you give your younger self?
Well, learn to surf sooner. You know, I was in Hawaii. I learned to surf on my first tour, but I should have learned like when I first got on island. It took me some time to work up the courage to, I don't want to pay $600 for a surfboard. What?
Life changing?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of half joking on that. Enjoy the time with your peers, right? And invest in their relationships. I got great friends. You know, my roommate from those Hawaii days is out here in Northern California. He's teaching school out there in Placerville. We were going to try to link up. We weren't able to make our schedules link up, but the advice I would give to my younger self would be really enjoy these friendships, invest in them, because they're going to be your friends for the rest of your life, right? I mean, you've got them for the rest of your life. I think that's something that young lieutenants don't realize. The people you're serving with in the Marine Corps are the best group of people you are ever going to serve with, no matter what you do, whether you're in for 4 years or 40 years, or, you know, you go to an elite business school and then you join some great law firm or whatever you do, you are not going to serve with the number and the quality of people who embrace our ethos, who will treat how we treat and take care of one another, who will take care of you, and who are just guided by those core values of honor, courage, commitment. So really invest in these friendships, in these lieutenant and captain days, because they are going to be your friends for the next 50 years. You know, I'll just share with you. I had breakfast last Friday with General Zinni and General Van Riper. They're two old retired Marines. And they were 3 stars and 4 stars when I was a young captain. And, you know, I had a chance to meet them both when I was president at Marine Corps University. It happened to be in the area, so you wanted to meet for breakfast. And it was great. It was great to spend time with them. But when I was sitting in Colonial Pancake House there in Williamsburg, and I watched them pull up and watched them walk in together, these two old warriors joking, laughing, genuinely enjoying each other's company. It's just like, wow, right? Those are the quality of friendships you make in the Marine Corps. These are the friends we have. These are the type of friends. They are lifelong friends. And they're going to take care of you like we're going to take care of them.
For a lifetime.
For a lifetime. For a lifetime. So advice I would give to my younger self is really invest in these friendships, because you got them for life.
That's amazing. I think anyone can resonate with that also, you know, just remind yourselves that our friendships that we have now and the people that we're around are worth investing in.
Your students here, they're going to be studying together. They're going to share an experience studying and learning here in the Monterey Peninsula, one of the most beautiful zip codes in the world, but they're going to...
They have it tough out here.
Well, they are going to study hard. They're in a great place, but their families are going to get together. They're going to have barbecues. They're going to collaborate on research projects. Some of them may form partnerships where who knows what's going to happen, right? Some of them, not all of them are going to stay in the Marine Corps, right? Some of them are going to move on and get out, and they're going to go on and do great things. But this is really going to be a special time for them, and make the most of it. Make the most of it.
So at the Trident Room, before we wrap up, we like to play games. I have a little lightning round of like a this or that. So first thing that comes to mind, I'm going to give you 2 options and just pick the first one that comes to mind, what you like. Okay, so here we go. Structure or flexibility?
Flexibility.
Experience or education?
Ooh, tough. Like to be at the intersection of both, but I would have to say experience, but boy, experience informed by education. So I kind of waffled on that one.
Leading from the front or empowering from behind?
Well, right now, probably empowering from behind, but certainly to have the credibility to empower from behind, you have to be able to lead from the front.
Planning or improvisation?
Improvisation.
Standards or adaptability?
Adaptability.
Recruiting or retention?
Both.
Both,
because you have to recruit the right people and then you have to retain them.
I had to throw that one in. It was kind of a trick question.
But here's what I'll say though. We have more Marines wanting to stay in the Marine Corps than we have room for. And one of the things you will not hear me do is make someone feel bad about getting out. Because Marines who get out and crush it, right? Like crush it, like my VMI college roommate, like the CEO of Crunch Fitness, like Tim Day, who had just an amazing career and started the Day Fellowships at the Harvard Business School and created enormous opportunities for Marines. Fred Smith, the founder and the chief executive officer of Federal Express, and thousands of Marines, when they get out and crush it as civilians, first, they contribute to our economy, right? And they become great citizens. What they do is they serve as points of inspiration for other young men and women of character. So if someone wants to get out and pursue their goal, and they got a vision and they got something they want to do, they're going to get encouragement from me. Go. Just make sure you crush it like every other former Marine does, because there's going to be some 17 and 18 year old young men and women who are going to see you crushing it. And they're going to be like, I want what that guy's doing. And they're going to come, and that's going to help our recruiting effort.
Talent or training?
Training.
Decisive action or deliberate patience?
Deliberate patience.
Peer leadership or top-down leadership?
Peer leadership.
Stability or change?
Change.
Technical expertise or strategic judgment?
Strategic judgment.
And winning battles or building the force?
Well, in order to win battles, you have to build the force first. So I would say you build the right force, which we do with our recruiting and our retention, you're going to win the battles. It's a foregone conclusion.
And the last one, if you had to choose, influence the Marine Corps today or shape its future leaders 20 years from now?
Well, I would say shape its future leaders 20 years from now, because to shape its future leaders 20 years from now, you're going to have a positive impact today because you got the right people in.
I agree. Thank you for playing.
Yeah.
And thank you for being here. It's been such an honor.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to graduation and having you with us. And any last parting words for our listeners?
No, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I've really enjoyed it. And I just got to say again, I just applaud the work that all of the students do here at the Naval Postgraduate School. I've obviously talked about the Marines this time, but, you know, our battle buddies, wingmen, and shipmates, and our international partners, and our other government agencies who have people here are all making very important contributions to our national security. They're all garnering valuable intellectual capital that's going to be put to good use for the country. And I salute all of you. I salute all of them. It's a great place. Make the most of it.
I couldn't have said that better myself. And thank you so much for being here. It's been an honor. This has been the Trident Room Podcast. Have a good one, and we'll see you on the next time.
Thanks for joining us in the Trident Room. For more information about today's guests and topics, please visit the show notes online at nps.edu/Trident Room Podcast. The Trident Room podcast has been brought to you by the Naval Postgraduate School Alumni Association and Foundation. For questions, comments, and suggestions, please email us at tridentroompodcasthost@nps.edu.